All right, you've got two textbooks or two things in your hand. One is the textbook that we'll use called The Church by Pastor Fraser. He's an old-timer that fundamentalist and separatist up there in Canada wrote this book. He's with the Lord now, but his widow, still living, Mrs. Fraser, she told me about this book years ago, probably 10, 15 years ago. They called me to be their pastor. I didn't feel led of the Lord to go, but it's called, the Fundamental Baptist Church, honey, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Fundamental Baptist Church in what province?
New Brunswick.
And he wrote this book, and so we had permission from his wife, and we just made copies of it. I think it's legible. So that'll be our textbook. Tonight, we will take this handout that we have and look up the 114 times where the word church occurs in the New Testament. 114 times. They're all here listed, and that's what we're going to be doing tonight. But then next week, we'll be off next week because of the holiday, the Labor Day. And the following week, we normally would meet, but I have a Bible conference in Pennsylvania. So Pastor said he'd be glad to take two sessions the 1 week after the Labor Day, which would be the 13th, September 13th. He would take 2 hours from 7 to 8 and 8 to 9. And then when I come back, Lord willing, on the 20th, I'll take the 2 hours from 7 to 8 and 8 to 9. See, so we'll kind of make that up. And that's all right with him. He said it'd be fine. And sorry about that, but every once in a while we do have to have meetings and preaching and out in other meetings. So that's where we're going to be. So we'll let you know. Now, if you'd open up to the index, the first part of the book there, you'll notice how many chapters do we have in this textbook?
13.
How many weeks do we have before the final? Yeah, well, this is 14, so it'll be 13 plus this. It's 14, right? So that's why I thought we'd take a look at the church in the Scripture for the first lesson. And then we'd take these 13 lessons, one each time. See, that'll make it nice and easy. We know where we're going, and we know how to read and how to study, and we'll go over these materials. And the church is very important indeed. Now, as you know, how many different views are there of the church? Name me a few. Yes, sir? Dave?
Baptist Bride.
Baptist Bride. Now, what is that exactly? What is the teaching of the Baptist Bride of the church?
I believe that the Baptist local church will be the bride of Christ. Everybody else will be the friend and the companion of Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's the Baptist Bride theory of the church. What's another view of the church? Yes, Rich?
Parachurch
organizations. That would be churches, organizations that are not part of the local church. That's a parachurch organization. They consider themselves sometimes churches, though, don't they? They call it about the radio church and so on and so forth. Whatever types of church. Yes, sir?
The universal body of Christ.
The view of the universal body of Christ. Now, we'll get into that as we go through some of the scriptures, etc. Pastor Rivera does not prefer that. He believes the local church only. Others prefer the universal church, but I want you to understand these views, whatever your own view is, as you look at the Scriptures and the Word of God, and so on. Now, what is the universal church? What does that mean?
Well,
those who hold to that.
Well, there's everybody in Christ, the people who believe that it's here now, everybody mm-hmm. in Christ is part of the body of Christ, which mm-hmm. makes them one big church, so you can pretty much do what you want.
Mm-hmm. All right, the universal church, everybody who has been saved or whatever from the beginning of the church till the rapture of the church. All right, what's another view? We have the Baptist Bride, we have the parachurch, we have the universal church. What other uses of that term do people make? Well, you got the local church. Don't forget that. That's our title of our course. What is the local church? What does that mean? Local. Yeah?
It's a called out assembly of believers to be together and have a pastor. An organization, an organized body
mm-hmm.
is used to carry out the Great Commission to minister to the saints.
All right, so that's the local church. What other types of people that use that word church? Sure, the Catholic Church. What is that? Is that the same kind of church these others are, or different? That's different. Roman Catholic Church. And then you have liberal modernistic churches. They say they're a church, don't they? And then you have the charismatic churches. They think they're churches. And then you have the men such as Charles Colson, who got together with the Roman Catholic priests just a couple months ago and made a 25-page pact. So they call the evangelicals and the Roman Catholic togetherness. That's what they call it. And they believe that Roman Catholics are brothers and sisters. They're Christians. You don't ever want to evangelize them. Never try to witness to them. They're all saved. See, that's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? And Robertson, Pat Robertson's in that. Several Southern Baptists are in that. And others have lent themselves to that. So there are different types of classification of churches. What does the Greek word church mean? What, first of all, do you know what the Greek word is? How do you pronounce that word?
Ecclesia.
Ecclesia. That comes from two Greek words, namely what? Ek and klesia, which is from kaleo, which means what? To call out. See, ek kaleo, to called out ones in the church. Now, I thought tonight, I forgot to set my watch here. I thought tonight what we'd do is to take a look at these 114 places in the New Testament where the word church occurs. Now, that's all either ecclesia, ecclesia singular, or ecclesia plural, as the case may be. And I want you to take your pen, and I want you to indicate, as we move down the line, which of these must be, definitely have to be, local church. A local church in a certain place, and some where maybe there may be some question or doubt, it may be not a local church, maybe several churches, or maybe a church that would be universal or whatever, because the Scriptures must tell us what the truth is, and we've got to look at them. All right, take a look. We go right down the line. What about Matthew 16:18? I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not definite. So how are we going to mark this if there's a possible question, so on? That some would hold that this would be maybe a universal type of, I will build my church. So what are we going to mark it to that? You want to put that question mark? Put question mark, whether local or not local. They do, don't they? Build my church, and they say it's a local. They say it's a specific church, so on. So it could be a specific local church, no question. All right, the next one, Matthew 18:17. Tell it unto the church. That's a local church. Now, if it's local, let's put L right there. And then what about the next? If they neglect to hear the church, what is that? Local church. In other words, you've got to have a body that you can tell it to, so you've got to have a local church. And I believe this is one reason why those who hold that the church began with either John the Baptist or with the Lord Jesus Christ or before the day of Pentecost, they take this verse and they say that that's included there, and Christ was the founder of it, and so on. So that's some of the view for that. All right, go on into the book of Acts. Now, we have 22 times for that word church occurs. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily. That's universal or local?
In a certain place,
wouldn't they? All right, the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. In other words, to the local church, right? I mean, they were saved people, obviously. But certainly this could be added to the church in numbers, the local church, as they met to worship and so on. What about Acts 5:11? Great fear came upon all the church.
That'd
certainly be local, because the church, they're talking about a local assembly of believers, isn't it? They're in Jerusalem, probably. And what about Acts 7:38? And he that was in the church in the wilderness. Now, that's a different type of meaning, isn't it? It was the church in the wilderness as far as the New Testament church? No, there's no such thing. We believe the church began. It's a New Testament institution, isn't it? So this word, ecclesia, the called out group in the wilderness. But you see, that's another proof that many have used to show that the word church means a local place. Because this was a group, a special group in the wilderness, a called out group, the Jews that were there in the wilderness, that the Lord took care of. So that's Acts 7:38. The church in the wilderness. And so how are we going to mark that one? We're marking, I guess, a question mark there, because obviously it isn't the New Testament church. But it's the meaning of the word ecclesia, a called out group. See, a called out group. And so they call it the church. What we might say in our translation, if we want to make a different word, we probably say an assembly or something like that. All right, Acts 8:3. He made havoc of the church and into every house and so on. Which one?
That could be universal.
Well, that's true, but probably if there was in Jerusalem and there was one church and they met there, it could be local without any problem, isn't it? It was at Jerusalem. What about Acts 9:31? Then the churches had rest throughout Judea. Local churches? Yes, they're local churches. See, all right, I want you to see what we have in Scripture. Then Acts 11:22, the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. Is that local or not? That's local, isn't it? See? The church which at Jerusalem, put an L there. All right. And then Acts 11:26, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Local church again. Put an L there. Acts 12:1, to vex certain of the church, King Herod. That'd be local church too. All right, so put that out. All right, Acts 12 and verse 5. Cease without prayer, ceasing of the church unto God. He made prayer without ceasing. Local church. There was a local church at a prayer meeting, wasn't it? And Acts 13:1, there was in the church that was at Antioch. Be local, wouldn't it? See, a specific church. Good to see you. Now, what is your name, sir? I'll put you down.
Jerry.
Kevin, okay. And your last name?
L-U-E-D.
Okay, F-L?
U-D-D.
Okay, F-L-U-D-D, Flood. All right. Did you get, you gave him a copy of the handout, so I got your textbook, and also the what we're doing there. We're on page one looking for these areas of the church. At the bottom of that page, all right, 1423 of Acts, ordained them elders in every church. That's local, isn't it? The next one, 1427, they gathered the church together. All right, when they came, Jerry, how you doing? Come in. All right, they gathered the church. That's local church, isn't it? All right, let's go to page two. Are there any questions so far on page one? What are we finding so far? God's talking about local church. That's what we're drawing so far, aren't we? Jerry, there's a textbook up here for you and also a handout sheet. We're on page two. We're talking about these churches, see if they're local or just how they are. Did we have extras there? Did we have one of those sheets? Okay, let me see. Where do we put those? Are we out of them? We got some extras.
Yeah.
Well, we got extras. Oh, we got plenty of these. Here you go, Jerry. We got these. We got plenty of them up here. You got an extra in there? Is that extra?
Yeah.
Kevin, you got one?
Yeah.
All right, fine. We got plenty of them. I didn't know just how many we should bring. I brought 15 of them. I was had a lot of faith, didn't it, Pastor? A lot of books. All right. We're on page two at the top. Acts 15:3. They brought their way on. They were brought on their way by the church. That's local, isn't it? All right. 15:4. They were received of the church. Local. That's right. And 15:22. When the whole church to send chosen men. Local. All right. Then 15:41. Confirming the churches. Local churches, sure they were. And then Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established. That's local. All right, 18:22, saluted the church. That's a local. Acts 19:37, neither robbers of churches. All right, that'd be local. And then Acts 20, verse 17, the elders of the church. That's a local, Church of Ephesus, isn't it? Church of Ephesus. And then 20:28, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That may be a question on that. What do you think? Local, the church of God. Certainly could be local, but it could be the other. So the church of God, which hath purchased. He's purchased the local churches with his own blood. No question. That's true.
He was talking to a
particular church. That's right. The elders of the church of Ephesus. And he was telling them that the members of that local church, they were purchased with their own blood. So it could be either way on that, and certainly local. I don't believe there's any verse of Scripture that says it couldn't be local if you define it properly. There are some that dispute certain portions. They say it would be universal. So that's what we're trying to see. Where could be disputing? Others are concrete. No way in the world you can say not local church. Some maybe a little leeway if they wanted to look at it that way. All right, now Romans chapter 5. Romans, there's five times that's used in Romans. Romans 16:1. I commend you the servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. What's that? Definitely local, right, at Cenchrea. Romans 16:4. All the churches of the Gentiles. That's local churches, surely. Now, because it's plural, does that mean it isn't local just because it's plural? No, it's more than one church. There are a lot of local churches, local Bible-believing churches in that age. All right, Romans 16:5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Local church. Now, does it have to be in a building to be a local, to be a church? No. We didn't have buildings in the early church, did we? They had no buildings. The synagogues for the Jews, but the churches mostly started in houses and so on. So then in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ salute you. That's local churches that are believers. And then Romans 16:23, the whole church saluteth you. Local church. All right, 1 Corinthians, 22 times the word occurs in 1 Corinthians. Let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. That's local. Now, see, they could say the church of God. They say, well, that's our universal. But here it's pinpointed at Corinth, a specific local church. Then in verse 4:17, I teach everywhere in every church, a local church. 1 Corinthians 6:4, least esteemed in the church, local church. Now that's another thing. See, that has to do with going to law before the unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 6, you remember. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you just have to be careful and so on. But this is a local church situation whereby here, if you have a problem in your local church, instead of taking it to the civil authorities, take care of it in your own local church. But what if you have somebody that's in this local church, then you have somebody that's way off somewhere in some other church, you don't even know where it is. See, that, how can you handle it? See, there's no at least esteem in the local church. It's a local church situation. And that's a problem that a lot of people have raised. And I guess they... but that's interesting. It is a local church situation. All right, in verse 7:17, so I ordain in all churches. Local again. All right, let's go to page 3. Any questions or comments on page 2 before we move on? All right, let's go to page 3. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, neither give neither defense to the Jews, Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Probably you could have a question mark on that one. Some people, you could still identify that as a local church, but they could say, well, the church of God generally, and so on and so forth. But you could say the local church is a church of God, God's church, local church, if you wish. And then 1 Corinthians 11:16, we have no contention, neither the churches of God. Again, local, sure. Even though it's plural, that's certainly local churches of God. It shows that they are godly churches. 1 Corinthians 11:18, when you come together in the church, local church. And 1 Corinthians 11:22, despise ye the church of God? When you come and eat and drink, that's a local church, isn't it? Because you're eating right in a building, a church gathering. Now, is the church a building? No, it isn't a building, but you meet in a building. So sometimes it's called a church building but or a church house. But the church is the people that are saved. All right, and 1 Corinthians 12:28. Did God ever call out a building? Not a called out building, it's called out people, isn't it? Called out of sin and out of degradation. All right, pardon me? Tabernacle and the temple were buildings. They were called ecclesia or buildings, that's true, and the church in the wilderness. But in the New Testament sense, it's certainly not a called-out building, is it? All right, 1 Corinthians 12:28, he gave some in the church, first apostles, so on. That can be local, sure, because you have prophets and teachers and so on in the church, local churches. 1 Corinthians 14:4, he the apostle edifieth the church. That's the local church right in there in the meeting. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, he has some in the church. That whole area of 1 Corinthians 12 is a very interesting, pivotal chapter as far as the church, whether local or universal. It talks about the body having many members and so on and so forth. Of course, I was taught always at Dallas Theological Seminary that this was universal church and so on and so forth. And when Dr. Myron Cederholm, who was then the president of Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown, Wisconsin, when he came to speak to our school, I guess he wasn't the president of that at that time, he later became. Now he's the next, when you leave the presidency, what do you call those? Chancellor. He's a chancellor. And by the way, Maranatha, I think, has gone down in many ways since he left that. He was a good president with standards and so on, and now he's given it to his relative, his nephew. Dr. Cederholm taught in that seminary. He said, well, this is local church. And boy, at the time, I thought, this fellow's teaching us wrong here and so on. But on the other hand, is it not true that in every local church, you have talented people with different groups and talents, some of the hands, some of the head, some of the feet, some of the eyes, and so on, in a local church? Now, what's wrong with that, see? There really is not anything wrong with that. So I've come from one position, and I perhaps haven't completely shut off that position, but I have got respect to the other side of the coin. Now, let me tell you this. Once you say that 1 Corinthians 12 is some sort of universal church, and all the body and have need of so on and so forth, you have need of everybody and so on, then how are you going to criticize or condemn or expose the wickedness and the corruption and the compromise of certain Christian leaders that are going off in the wrong direction? Like Billy Graham or some other evangelist, ecumenical evangelist. Well, how are you going to condemn it or criticize it if you take that as universal church and then we all have need of one another, so we got to be ever peaceful and quiet and so on? Well, that's a different situation, see? So I think if you have the local church in mind there, then you have church government, you have church discipline, and it certainly fits in much better. And you will not open the door to the ecumenical movement. Because if you once assume that you have Christians in all different organizations and so they're all part of everything, so how are you going to separate from them? How are you going to separate scripturally if you believe in this all in a universal situation where Christian here, Christian there, and Roman Catholic churches and the ecumenical churches of all kinds of people are in there? And if they're all members of this so-called body that's a universal body instead of an individual local church body, how are you going to separate scripturally? What God says, come out from among and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. See? And so you have in 1 Corinthians 12 a very dangerous landmine situation if you adopt completely the universal church teaching in that chapter. However, if you have a local church situation, then you as a local church can be clean and pure and separated from apostasy, from new evangelicalism, from compromise, and so on. See, so I just caution that in 1 Corinthians 12. All right, let's move on to 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that prophesieth edifieth the church. Oh, we've already said that. That's local, isn't it? All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 5. Put an L there if you want. And if he interpret, except that the church may receive edifying, that's local. 1 Corinthians 14, 12, for the edifying of the church. What is that one? That's local. 1 Corinthians 14, 19. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding. That's local, speaking right in the local church. 14:23, if the whole church has come together into one place, that's local. And then 14:28, women, let them keep silence in the church. That's local. And then 14:33, as in all the churches of the saints, that's local churches. 14:34, 1 Corinthians, let your women keep silence in the churches. Again, I guess I said women up in 14:28 should be, if there's no interpreter, here's the women in local churches. And then 1 Corinthians 14:35, a shame for women to speak in the church. That's again local. And then 1 Corinthians 15:9, I persecuted the church of God. That's local. You might have a question mark there, something, well, the church of God, but the church of God at Jerusalem or at whatever place, you could make a good case for the local. You might put a question mark on that, possibly. But you can't persecute something that's not tangible. You have to persecute a local type of church to be even persecuted, to get on the receiving end of it. 1 Corinthians 16:1, collection of the saints, I've given order to the churches of Galatia. That's local. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia, that's local. And then the last part, with the church that is in their house, that's local. See, in some of these verses, you have church or churches twice, don't you? Three different verses, you have it twice. All right, so that takes care of 1 Corinthians. Any comments or questions on those verses? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Only nine times the word church is used, or churches. 2 Corinthians 1:1, under the church of God at Corinth. That's local, isn't it? No question on that. Oh, yeah, question. Go ahead, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15:9, all right. Okay, how could he persecute the church? If he wasn't referenced not speaking to the church, how can he ask a question? All right, this is a Bible Institute at this point, although we're in a meeting in a church house, aren't we? All right. The 1 Corinthians 15:9, it's true that Paul had the church revealed to him after he was a Christian. But before that, he did persecute those who were in the church. Yes.
Well, they still call in Acts 1 the church.
Yes, sure. So the book of Acts, oh yes, the church started right in there. Nobody puts it anywhere after the day of Pentecost. That's what many people believe the church began. Your pastor and others hold to John the Baptist or the Lord Jesus Christ. There's certain other positions that are held as to the beginning, but certainly by Acts chapter 2, there's no problem there. Yes, Dave? Did you have a kind of comment? Oh, okay. Okay, all right. Does that clear that up, Mrs. Wade?
I don't understand, but I'll talk to the
family. All right. Well, we go on to... You'll forget when you get home? Then it'll be safe. I'll be safe. On it. 2 Corinthians 1:1 is a church. All right, let's go on then to page 4. Top of page 4. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. The churches of Macedonia. That's local, definitely. 8:18 to 2 Corinthians. Throughout all the churches. Local. All right. 2 Corinthians 8:19. Chosen of the churches to travel. Local. Those churches got together and they picked who they wanted to take the offering and with this grace, this offering, to move along. 2 Corinthians 8:23. The churches, the messengers of the churches. Local churches. Sure, they had messengers. They could go from place to place and vote on different things. 2 Corinthians 8:24, before the churches, you show the proof before the churches, the proof of your love. That's local. All right. 2 Corinthians 11:8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them. Local churches. 2 Corinthians 11:28, care of all the churches. Local. 2 Corinthians 12:13, you were not inferior to other churches. Local again. Now in Galatians, there's three times for Galatians. It's used 1:2, verse 1, and chapter 1, verse 2, under the churches of Galatia. That's local. And then chapter 1, verse 13, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. It seems local. Yeah, you've got the church. How are you going to persecute something that's intangible? See, you've got to get at something. The church of God. And see, sometimes we have what is called a collective. Am I right? The church of God. It's a collective, meaning all individual churches. See what I mean? It could be a collective, but you wouldn't have to say church is plural, but the church in a general sense, it means still local. There's no problem with that. That's something we use. All right, now let's see. The last one, Galatians 1:22, was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea. Again, local churches. All right, any other comments on 2 Corinthians or Galatians before we move on to Ephesians? All right, in Ephesians, we have nine times it's used. Ephesians 1:22, the head over all things to the church. Well, you see, here's one of the things where there's a question mark on some people's mind, the church in a general sense, but could be certainly head of the church, the local church. See, we always say in churches that Christ is the head of this church, local church. We don't worry about qualifying it in any way. We say that Christ is the shepherd of this local church. Our pastor is the under-shepherd. Isn't that the way we phrase it? So there's nothing wrong with the... yeah, Mrs. Wade? Oh, okay. mumbling. I'm mumbling. That's a different word, isn't it, for that? Ephesians 3:10 might be known unto the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Well, this organization, but the church local, it could be too. If you want to put a question mark, see, this area of Ephesians is where those who hold to the universal church aspect get most of the verses on that. But you can still, I believe, understand it to be a local church. Yeah. Well, I put a question mark at 1:22 and 3:10 because the church, by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, although that could be a... In other words, some people have this, some people have that. See, there's some that are airtight, Anthony, and that's... I put a question mark on those two because that's where some people will divide and they say, well, you see it this way or that way, see. Others that you can't divide. I see there's no problem with local church even here. But there are others that see a problem with it. Yes, Dave? Oh, all right. Okay. Yes, Ephesians 3:21, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ. Nothing wrong with local church there, is it? We ought to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in the church where we are, the local church. I don't see any problem with that. We can put an L on that one. 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the church. Well, he could be the head of the local church as well. He's a savior of the body. Well, that could be the local body or the other. See, I think that's a... head of the... They would... a lot of people use that for universal. I suppose you could put a question mark there. But as I say, you can see it as local very easily. Nobody has a universal body. You know, he's a savior of the body. It could be universal. It could be local also. Ephesians 5:24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Well, it could be the local church, so the wives be to their own husbands and everything. The local church should be subject to Christ. See, if you say church generally, you know, where do you got? It's sort of hard. But some people do put this universal right here. Yes, Dave?
They put the universal right here. The wife has nothing to compare being subject to Christ because the universal church, you know,
is not subject to Christ.
Because it's some guy that lives in somewhere and he's...
Yeah. You're right. It's a difficult interpretive passage unless you nail it down to a local church. Actually, the local church should be subject to Christ. And that's one of the problems of all of our churches, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is not the master of everyone that's a member of that church. And that's a real problem there. All right. And then Ephesians 5:25, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, he loved the local church as well as the other. I'd maybe put a question mark there. Elders say, well, that's everybody and so on. Now, there's a term that those who deny the universal church of any kind, the term that is used, one of my good friends, Dr. M. James Hollywood, is one. He's a professor for many years, about 18 years at Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown, Wisconsin. And he's vice president of our Dean Burgon Society. I'm president of that organization. We just met a couple weeks ago. Had some excellent messages on the King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek that underlies it. Dr. Hollywood does not believe in the universal church, for example. I said, well, Dr. Hollywood, what do you do with those people that are saved, born-again Christians, and, you know, throughout the ages, from the beginning of the church to the end? What do you call those people if they're not members of the, you know, universal church? He said, we call them members of the family of God. All right, fine. I mean, that's, at least he doesn't say, like the Baptist writer, only those in that local church are saved. They're saved people. They're members of the family of God, so on. So that's another way that they can call those that are saved in other words, you see, those that are saved. For instance, is a dead person who's died, who's a Christian, who was a Christian and went home to be with the Lord, is he any longer a member of a local church?
No.
No, he's death breaks that tie. But was he or is he right now a member of the family of God?
Yes.
Or saved? Yes, he is, sure. He, until eternity, he have eternal life, see? So there's no problem there. All right. So verse Ephesians 5:27. Present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, some people say this is local, the universal. You can put a question if you want, but local church should be without spots or wrinkles, and that's the problem. We got so many spots and wrinkles, we can't see straight. We have to take them to the cleaners almost every week. Ephesians 5:29, no man ever hated his own flesh, even as the Lord the church. Well, the people, you can put a question mark, but the local churches, the Lord does cherish the church. If He doesn't cherish the local church, then how does He evangelize? How does He have the Lord's table? How does He have communion and the baptism and all, if you don't have local churches? See, in other words, it's just the Lord cherishes the local church. He established the local church. All right, let's go over at page 5 at the top, Ephesians 5:32. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Well, you can put a question mark if you want. There's a lot of these question marks in Ephesians, but the local church certainly can be fitted into all of these, I believe. Philippians, there's two times in Philippians, Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal persecuting the church, a local church. I mean, you can't persecute something way out yonder in the pawpaw patch, picking up pawpaws, put them in a basket, can you? You have to persecute something tangible, All right, Philippians 4:15. No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. That's certainly local church, isn't it? Put your L there. Local. All right, Colossians 4, four times in Colossians. Colossians 1:18. The head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Head of the body, the church. So the body is called the church. Well, there's a question mark here. A lot of people say, well, that's universal and so on. Or it could be local, though, but if you want to put question on that. First chapter of Colossians, 1:24. Mr. Wade, did you have a question there? Okay. 1:24, for His body's sake, which is the church. Do you want to put a question there? Some people call that universal, but you can make out a local church on that too. How about 4:15 of Colossians? The church which is in His house. That's local, no question there. For Colossians 4:16, the church of the Laodiceans. Local, all right. So, a few verses in Ephesians, a few in Colossians, with question marks perhaps. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, two times it's used there, chapter 1 and verse 1. Unto the church of the Thessalonians. That's local church. Chapter 2, verse 14, the churches of God which is are in Judea. Local, all right, there are churches that are local. And 2 Thessalonians, two times, chapter 1, verse 1, the church of the Thessalonians. That's certainly local. And chapter 1, verse 4, glory in the churches of God. Local churches. And 1 Timothy, three times, take care of the church of God. This is a pastor, a local church. If he can't know how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? And then 1 Timothy 3:15, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the house of God, local church, it seems like. Now, you know, a lot of people say maybe universal, but how you have the house of God, that's pinned it right down, the church, which is the pillar and ground of truth. Now, I tell you, if you do not have in 1 Timothy 3:15 a local church which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, where is the pillar and ground of the truth? If you say it's universal, where's the truth? Where's the ground? Where's the pillar? You got all different doctrines of baptism, doctrines of salvation, doctrines of the Lord's return, eschatology, salvation and doctrine. It's got to be pinned down to local churches definitely. 1 Timothy 5:16 over in page 6, let not the church be charged, the widows. That's local, isn't it? Definitely a local church. Philemon, just one time in Philemon, 1 verse 2, the church in thy house, that's local, isn't it? And Hebrews, two times, the church, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's the local church, isn't it? You're singing praises in the house of the Lord. And then Hebrews 12:23, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Well, if you want to put a question mark on that, yeah, okay, Dave.
Well, what I've been taught different. What I believe is there is a universal church, but that's it's not needed because it hasn't met yet.
When's it going to meet?
When we call out assembly, mm-hmm. When we meet in heaven, that's when you can say, well, we're all together.
So maybe this would be universal church up there, church of the firstborn in heaven. that's possible. Or the ones that are members of the local church that are saved, they should be only saved in the church membership. They are members of the church of the firstborn, and their names are written in heaven even before we get to heaven. Isn't that right? And is my name written there in the page bright and fair and so on? So then in James, they have one time, James 5:14, the elders of the church, local church, 1 Peter, one time there, the church that is at Babylon, saluteth thee. local church. In 3 John, you have it three times. Verse 1, verse 6, the church, whom I shall bring forward in my journey before the church, local church. And then the church, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, that's local church, receiveth us not. That's into a local church, isn't it? Local church. And then 1:10, cast them out of the church. It has to be local church because church discipline, isn't it? All right, now we get into the book of Revelation. There are 20 times. This is the last book, and we're coming down to the finale of our time here, but we've got a few minutes. We can work at it. To the seven churches, Revelation 1:4, local churches. 1:11, the seven churches, local. All right, let's go to page 7, our last page. Revelation 1:20, the seven churches, local. And the last part of that verse, seven churches, local. What about 2 and verse 1? The church at Ephesus, the angel of the church at Ephesus. That's local, isn't it? And 2 verse 7, saith unto the churches, local churches. The church in Smyrna, verse 8, local church at Smyrna. The angel, now who do you think that angel would be? Well, it could be Jesus, but what is another? What does angel mean? A messenger. So, let's say, Rich? Yeah, Pastor, a lot of folk interpret that, the angel, that is the all these different verses. For instance, the 1:20 of Revelation, of the angels of the seven churches, and 2:1, the angel of the church of Ephesus. In other words, the messenger, the leader. That's one of the reasons why we believe in Baptist church government, because there's this one pastor that's the head of that local church. There may be associate pastors, assistant pastors, helping pastors, visiting pastors, music pastors, maybe other ones, but there's got to be the angel, the one overall leader that can keep together, and the angel of the church. But it's local church, isn't it? And then Revelation 2, verse 11, to the churches, he that overcometh, what is that? Saith unto the church, local again. What about 2:12, the angel of the church in Pergamos, local church. Then in 2:17, saith unto the churches, local. Then what about 2:18, the church of Thyatira, local. And all the churches, 2:23, local. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, local. And the church at Sardis, local. These were all churches of Asia Minor. The Spirit saith unto the churches, 3:6 of Revelation, local. 3:7, the church of Philadelphia. This is a local church right here in the city of Philadelphia, isn't it? Right here now. All right, different Philadelphia, but the same name. Why do they call it Philadelphia? Why do some people call it Philadelphia? I don't know. I mean, some people do refer to that, you know, Philadelphia. I don't know. You know what they also refer to Philadelphia as? You know what Philadelphia really means? Philos is what? Love. And Adelphos is brother. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And you know what they say? City of brotherly shove. Wonder why they say that. Brotherly shove. Oh, they did? Yeah, I heard that on the radio a couple weeks ago. Yeah, so anyway, this is Philadelphia. What about 3:13? Spirit saith unto the churches. That's local churches. And then the church of the Laodiceans. Local, 3:14. 3:22, unto the churches. The local churches, and then 22:16, things under the churches. Is there any doubt in Revelation that it's local churches, the whole thing? No questions. All right, now, what I want you to do is look over where you put the question marks, or universal if you had it. I think basically we had either local churches or question marks, where some people would interpret it differently. Count the question marks, and let's come up with the possible uses of the universal, if they want to say that. And the rest will be local. All right, 1, you count them up. 2, all right, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I only got 6. I got 2 in Colossians, 3 in Ephesians, or 4 in Ephesians, I guess there's one. 4 in Ephesians, 2 in Colossians, that's 6. And then 1 in Matthew 7, Acts 1, 1 of that, it'd be 8. 8 out of 114, that's by stretching it the most possible, we'll subtract 8 from 114. What do you get that is absolutely solid? No question. What is that subtracted? 106. Local church, 8 question mark. Now, 8 the question mark would be either way, so it doesn't cut off the local church. So the meaning and usage of the word church is, I have my calculator. If I were to calculate percentages, I would put 8, would I not? And that I put divided by, if I can read it up here with this light, divided by what? 114, wouldn't I? No, divided by 106, let me see. By 114, I guess. 114, and then I say equals. Where are you? Equals. Where is that? I think that's it right there. Let's try that. 0.07. That would be 7%. 0.07. 114. And you put 8 over that. Let me try it once more. We'll clear this. And we'll say 8 divided by... that's divided by 114 equals. Well, yeah, here's divided by up here, right? 8 divided by 114 equals 0.07. 0.070, in fact. So that's 7%, or question marks. What does that give you for non-question marks? Positive local church. No question about it. 93%. 7% if you want to stretch it with question marks. But clearly, non-questionable things, 93% of the uses in the New Testament are local church. So if someone argues with you and says, oh, we got this and this and this, you just tell them. You can argue maybe about a 7% situation, and you may not win that argument with me, you might tell them, but you can't argue 97%, 93% rather, of the cases for the local church. Are there any questions now before we continue? All right, I want you to see that in Scripture. I think we're dealing with scriptural principles. Now, let's take a look at our index of our, turn to our inside cover there of our textbook by Reverend E.M. Frazier. And notice the 13 titles. Now, next time, as we say, Pastor, of course, next week we'll have a vacation. It'll be Labor Day. We won't have any class on the 6th of September, but the 13th, remember, Pastor Rivera will have you from 7 to 8 and 8 to 9 because I have Bible conference. Jerry, you weren't here when I mentioned that, or Kevin. But the following week, which will be on the 20th, Lord willing, we'll be back, and then we'll have 2 hours straight. See? So we'll take chapters 1 and chapter 2 on the 20th. So you might mark that in your books, chapter 1 and chapter 2 on September 20th. And we'll take, notice the church Godward, first of all, and then manward. What does it mean, Godward? What are we talking about, Godward? From God's perspective. And manward? Man's perspective. Does the church have two aspects? Yes. When God looks down upon local churches, what do you think He sees? Sees our hearts. You think is there anything He doesn't see? No, everything is naked and open with in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. But when man looks at the local churches, what does man sometimes see or not see? Outward appearances and so on and so forth. So that's what we're going to be talking about when we come back on the 20th. Now notice chapter 3, the church, her ministry. Very important. What she's supposed to do. What the local church is supposed to further and all. And then the fourth chapter, the church's minister. Pastor there, that's important to know what the qualifications and all. Then chapter 5, the church's doctrines. What is doctrine? What you believe, all right? It's a teaching, what they believe about various doctrines and pictures of teachings. And then chapter 6, that's almost an unknown quantity in most churches, the church's discipline. The churches that do not have discipline, church discipline, are churches that are just growing up like topsy, we say, like mushrooms, and no control, out of control. Chapter 7, we'll deal with the church's deacons, officers of the church, pastor and deacons, here are the deacons, and the church's polity. Chapter 8, that's what the types of church government, church's practice in chapter 9, church's ordinances, and chapter 10 and 11, and then church's finances, and finally the church's finale.